of the Lord from the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. And when you have multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Lord, they shall no more say the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind or be remembered in it. It shall not be made again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So whatever happened to the good old days, when men were men and women were women, and unwanted children was a contradiction in terms, and headlines were filled with things other than sexually transmitted diseases? How silly we must look. How primitive a society not to consider the causes of these things, as though we don't understand the very cause of pregnancy, or consider the latest attempt to cover up yet more of the symptoms without ever analyzing the disease. Not that we necessarily turn to the first lady for moral advice, but her good advice concerning the drug problem could well be applied to sexual immorality as well, just so moral. The problem is that our old Adam would just as soon say yes. Yes to all that is ungodly. Yes to all that would lead us to other great sin and vice. Yes to that whole catalog of sins Paul has outlined for us today. And since the old Adam is, after all, old, those good old days were really not all that good. Have you seen what faithless Israel did? God asked Jeremiah in these old days. He went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and he was a harlot there. So much for the good old days. Israel worshipped the pagan fertility god. And whatever happened to Israel? God said, and I thought after she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she did not return. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. So much for Israel. Whatever happened to Judah in all of this? God says, yet his treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. And because her harlotry was so nice to her, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. How stupid Judah must have seemed. He or she was witness to what happened to her sister Israel. How they had fallen into sin and were destroyed, and yet she failed to look at her own disease. So whatever happened to the good old days, they were full of harlotry and adultery and other great sins and vice. Even God's people, these weren't the pagan nations round about, not even the uncircumcised Christians, mind you. These were God's people who committed adultery, both literally and spiritually, for they had forgotten and forsaken their faithfulness to their faithful God, a God who had saved them and redeemed them, brought them as his own and brought them into his land, called them to be his own and to live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And now, look what happened. Israel was gone. Just destroyed. Judah was on the brink of destruction. Josiah would be killed. Egypt was on the rise. Babylon was on the move. Sin means judgment, destruction, and death. Just one. Return. Return, O faithful son, declares Yahweh. Acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against Yahweh your God and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice. what happened. Yet, in spite of all this, Judas was not restrained to leave with all her heart, but rather in deception. So, whatever happened, it seemed repentance. How hard to acknowledge our iniquity and its consequences. How easy to take God's grace for granted. Oh, it's easy to give lip service to them, go through the motions, but 40 days of humble repentance, or better yet, that the entire life of the believer should be one of repentance. Confession, contrition, humility, these are not modern values. And whatever happened to personal responsibility? As motto, even the president of our country, how long did it take to admit, and then after weeks of anguish, that mistakes were made as cleverly incomplete passes? Yet who else in their jobs or in their lives will say before God himself, I have sinned? My heart to take God's grace and his pardon so seriously. How easy to take it all for granted. This was Jeremiah's frustration too, for many assumed that as long as the temple was standing, as long as the ark of God's covenant of his promise and presence was there, while God was in the midst of Zion, he would not be moved. And what would have happened to the temple and to the ark? Well, they were moved. Removed and judged. And Jeremiah is quite clear that all of this was done under God. What is happening? God destroying his own people and his own temple? Whatever happened? Here's what happened. God made things happen. God took control. God acted according to his plan of salvation. He punished sin in holy justice. And then in that judgment, he worked justification, salvation, and newness of life. For just as God said he would, he destroyed the faithless people and the faithless cities and the faithless shepherds. He has destroyed the old Adam so that a new man might come forth and arise, a new people and a new city and a new temple and new shepherds would come forth. Then I will give you shepherds, God says, after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. And it shall be in those days when you are multiplied and increased in the land, because Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. It shall not come to mind. They shall remember it no more, nor shall they miss it, nor shall it be made again. So whatever happened to the ark? It's gone. Destroy. Oh, God is still in the midst of his people, at the center of that holy communion of saints, gathered here or anywhere around his real presence with us, his presence in a world of judgment and pardon. For the word of God has become flesh and dwelt among us. And that word spoke these words, destroy this temple, speaking of himself, and in 2 days I will raise it up. God has judged his own people, his own temple, his own person. God has laid our judgment and destruction on himself in Christ. In Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, God's great and good shepherd, in him all sin has been judged and punished. In him that old Adam has been drowned. In him the sin and immorality and desires of the flesh have been crucified. In him the half-hearted repentance and taking his grace for granted has been destroyed. And in that judgment he has worked for us and for all salvation and life. For he lives to dwell among us still in the glory and power of his resurrection. That is hearts and hearts. Jeremiah says, we have the prophetic word made sure. That great day of God's action once for all has come. We have the seal of his promise and his presence in the body and blood of God incarnate, given and shed for the remission of sins. If Lent, repent. If Lent, rejoice. Come and taste your salvation. Come from the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Come from the land of the north. Come from all nations, from every language and tribe and tongue and people. Come in humble repentance by God's grace alone, in his body and blood. We know that God has given us his inheritance that will last